our next speaker is Tongyin Lee.
Good afternoon. The part I'm going to talk about is the feasibility of using these bell containers in a pot system for nursery production of river birch. I will try to be brief with the introduction part. Of course, we are studying biocontainers. They're made of biodegradable or compostable materials as the potential alternatives for those traditional plastic containers. And study shows that these good forest growers generally they have a positive attitude toward adopting these sustainable practices. And the consumers, depending on their income level and ages, they're also willing to pay a higher price for ornamental crops grow in those non-plastic containers. And of course, depending on plant species and the biocontainer type, biocontainers can have various influence on plant growth. But generally, they can produce quality commercial plants. And biocontainer when they are made with hydrophilic materials like paper, peat, or feather, they tend to require more water volume and frequent irrigation frequency, and possibly due to the more evaporation through the side wall. And of course, the persistence of the biocontainer is also an issue because the pot degradation will increase with their increasing percentage of the compostable materials in it, of course, and their strength will decrease when the sidewall is able to absorb water into it. But the bottom line for them to be usable in productions that they have to stay intact long enough to finish the production cycle and be able to resist the handling pressure in the subsequent harvest and transport processes. Something about pot in pot, because it's known for its advantages of prevent blowing over of plants and also help reduce heat stress in summer and help overwintering of plants and protect them from cold injury. And current research on biocontainers are more using bedding plants in short-term greenhouse study, with less of them evaluating like wood nursery plants in a relatively long-term study. And none of them published studies is associated with a pot-in-pot system. So the objective of our study is first to evaluate the mechanical performances of two wood pump biocontainers in a pot-in-pot production system. And the second is to investigate how these biocontainers affect plant growth and water use of river birch. We use 1-year-old bio root liners of river birch, and they were potted into three kind of different production pots, 7-gallon production pots. Two of them on the right part of the screen is the picture of the three types of pots. Two of them are wood pump, paper-based wood pump containers, manufactured by different companies, and the other one is a black plastic pot as control. And this study was conducted from June 2011 to October 2012 at four locations with various hardness, USD hardness zones from 5B to 8A. As Dr. Jenny mentioned before, we use 85% pine bark and 15% peat as the growing substrate. And each plant was fertilized with 63 grams of Osmocup Plus fertilizer at the beginning of each growing season, and irrigation was delivered to replace 100% everyday water use. And the right of the screen is a picture of the production pot placed into the outside 15-gallon socket pot. And there is a gap between the biocontainer and the outside pot, which was filled with bubble wrap and was sealed with tape. For data, we measure plant height and width and calculate plant growth index monthly. We also measure substrate temperature every 15 minutes using a Hubble temperature sensor, and measured substrate moisture using a calibrated feather probe. And plants were destructively harvested in October 2012, and dry weight of each tissue sample was recorded. And there was a visual evaluation of these biocontainers at the end of each growing season. And I like to mention that some of the data were only taken at certain locations, not all of them for various reasons. For stats, the experiment was set up as a completely randomized design at a given location with 8 replications in each treatment, and data were analyzed using ANOVA and Fisher's LSD by SAS. The results are fairly straightforward, and for plant height, by the end of the first growing season, we observed different growth vigor at different locations, but at a given location, there was no difference in plant height among different container types. Also, by the end of the second growing season, there was no difference among container types at either Mississippi or Texas. Similar with plant growth index, we didn't find any difference at a given location among plants growing different container types at Michigan or Mississippi in the first year, or at Texas and Mississippi at the second year. And by the time of the harvest in October 2012, there was no difference in either stem, root, or total plant dry weight among container types at a given location, either Mississippi or Texas. For daily water use, we only have daily water use data from Michigan and Kentucky. The daily water use amount varies from day to day, depending on plant growth or weather conditions. But on a given day from June to November in Michigan, there was no difference of daily water use in among different container types on a given day. And in Kentucky, also similarly, the daily water use varies from 1.3 to 3.2 liters on a given day, but still there was no difference among three container types. For substrate, a little bit for substrate temperature. Of course, the substrate temperature will fluctuate according to the air temperature change. But on a given day, still the minimum substrate temperature will higher than air minimum temperature, and the substrate maximum temperature will lower than the air maximum temperature on a given day. Anyhow, on any of these selected dates from May to August in 2012 in Mississippi, that we didn't find any difference in either minimum, maximum, or average substrate temperature on these dates among different container types. Something about biocontainer integrity. By the end of the first growing season, we found a few root penetration, but most of the biocontainers, both the side wall and the bottom, they stay intact. On the left is the bottom of a core fiber container. On the left is a Weston pulp. On the right, I'm sorry. And by the end of the second growing season, the biocontainers were penetrated by root to different degrees. For some good ones, on the left is a quart fiber container. Only the bottom of the biocontainer was penetrated by roots. But for some worse scenarios, on the right, there are one quart fiber container and Weston pump. Both the lower parts and the bottom of the biocontainers were broken especially during the pulling out process from the pot and pot system. But however, with rigorous root growth of the river birch, and the root escape problem was not just in biocontainers. You can see that with some of the, even the plastic containers were penetrated by root growth. In summary, the wood pump containers we evaluated in this study, they did not have any negative effect on plant growth or did not increase water use of river birch. We think that might be because the in-ground placement of the biocontainer has prevent the extension of evaporation loss through the sidewall. And these biocontainers may not be suitable for a long-term production, like equal to or more than 2 years, considering that these penetrations and broken pots were found at the end of the second growing season. But they still have potential to be as an alternative to plastic containers for 1 year production. But whenever decisions are made, you have to consider the gross rigor of a certain crop. That will be all. I'll take questions with that.
Questions?
Thank you.